This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all, good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to the Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-porking American lover, Al. How you doing, Al?
Hey, I'm terrific. Good evening. It's great to be here. How are you?
I am doing good. Thank you. It's Monday, April 19th. Hope you filed your taxes, although you got an extension. Due to the Chinese virus, they've extended the filing from April the 15th, I think, to sometime in May. So that should be good. And Derek Chauvin's trial is now in the hands of the jury. We'll get to that today as well. So that poor bastard is fate is now in the hands of the jury. And then chalk one up for the good old guys. Yesterday, Stuart Sink, 47 years old, captured the RBC Heritage Classic. Yeah, man, exactly. Sink led by 5 strokes going into Sunday and finished the tourney winning by 5 strokes. It was the third time he's won the RBC Heritage Classic, but he also became the oldest to win the RBC Classic at 47 years old. If you watch the tournament, you'll see he played fantastic. He shot 63-63, 8 under par 2 days in a row. Thursday and Friday, shot 69 Saturday, and I think he shot 71 yesterday, even par, I believe. Sink outlasted all the young studs, and with his youngest son, Reagan, and that is for Ronald Reagan, by the way. Reagan on his bag, caddying for him. He won his 8th PGA Tour victory. 47 years old, and the man played absolutely fantastic. It was really something to watch.
Great for us old farts.
That's right. That's right. Chalk went
We're
up for the old guys.
Yet.
Hey, you know, and the funny thing was, that even the world number one Dustin Johnson was in the field, and he beat Dustin Johnson by like 15 strokes, I think. So, I mean, you know, he had to be on his game, certainly, and he was. And it just goes to show that you don't have to hit the ball 450 yards in order to win on the PGA Tour. But you have to have steadiness, and you have to be consistent, and that's exactly what Stuart Sink was. It was really fun to watch. So,
yeah, I challenge anybody to shoot in the 60s 4 days in a row.
Well, and not the temperature you're talking about. Yeah.
No, we're talking scores.
It's
so incredible. Feet,
it was.
Human. Gosh, that's so great.
It was fantastic. It was great to watch. That's why you say, you know, you chalk one up to the old guys. It's beautiful, man. It's well, we'll see what happens. You know, this is his second win in a year, and he gets into the Masters next year. He's got it gets him a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour, so he'll get him through to age 50. And you know, if he's still competing at this level for 4 rounds, there's no reason why he can't go till he's, you know, 55 and maybe even older. I think 58 was with Sam Snead. So it was really cool to watch. So congratulations to Stuart Sink.
Yes.
And keeping in the theme of golf, I got to tell you, this is absolutely another blunder by the buffoon in the White House. You know, Biden calling Hideki Matsuyama, the winner of the 2021 Masters 2 weeks ago, he called him a Japanese boy. And not only did he call him a Japanese boy, but he called it in front of the Japanese prime minister in one of buffoon Biden's few press conferences when he comes out of his basement and he sees his shadow. The gaffe master didn't let the American people down. And, you know, it's one thing that, you know, if Donald Trump, if President Trump would have used the term to the Japanese prime minister to describe the winner of the Masters, a Japanese boy, there would have been international hell to pay. I mean, even mini Mike Bloomberg News would have made this an international incident. The embarrassment. Oh, he can't believe he's president of the United States. Oh, but when the frail old fraud with dementia does this at a news conference in front of a Japanese government official, the prime minister of Japan, there's absolute silence. You know, we were going through, and Al and I were talking before the show, and going through all the stories in the ESPN, the DNC ESPN, I guess it is now, not one mention about the buffoon Biden's, you know, gaffe master. But let's play it. It's 42 seconds. And listen to the gaffe master, buffoon Biden, as he insults the 29-year-old man from Japan who happens to be the first Japanese professional golfer to win a major championship on the PGA Tour. And this is Biden's own word. Okay? So we didn't embellish on this.
And Yossi, I know how proud you are of the people of Japan are. And you've got a Japanese boy coming over here, and guess what? He won the Masters. He won the Masters. He won the green jacket. And Matsuyama was the first Japanese player to take home that green jacket at the Masters tournament this week. So let me say congratulations, Japan, as well, on that feat.
You know, President Trump, if he would have said that, they would have told him he can no longer eat sushi. He can only eat rice, you know. And what about the issue of Asian racism that's supposedly rampant in the United States, and the president of the United States furthers this racism? So I guess the Asian Strong, hashtag Asian Strong, was just a quick soundbite used in order to demonize, I guess, people who are on the right side of the political aisle, because apparently when the gaffe master strikes, the entire media world goes silent. The entire DNC media world goes silent. I mean, what a freaking buffoon.
What an embarrassment, a national embarrassment.
National embarrassment. It really is. It really is. It, you know, it's one thing to mess up and butcher Hideki Matsuyama's name, but the man's he's a 29-year-old man. He's been a professional golfer since 17 years old. He did something extremely well, and you call him a Japanese boy? Give me a break. You know, it's one thing to sit there and to mispronounce the man's name. But to say that, the one thing that is certain that we're learning is that Joe Biden is inherently a racist. He's a racist to the core. And, of course, the DNC media sanitizes this buffoon. They sanitize this anti-constitutional fraud. And it's just one slang after another with this guy. And there's no accountability. He should apologize profusely to the Japanese prime minister for having used that term.
But what do you do when Asian racism is fueled and incited by our president?
I don't know.
How do you repair that? How do you spike the story? Why is it not in the front pages? Japanese boy? Is this how he talks about everybody? What era is he from? What a dope.
Yeah. Yep. I hate to say when he, you know, how he refers to somebody who repairs his shoes or he needs them polished. I'd hate to hear how he talks about them. There's also another story, a sports story that I'm hoping that Hank will cover on Wednesday. I'm just going to make mention of it here, but there's a coach in our track and field coach in New Hampshire that was fired by the school board because he refused to have his players force them to wear masks while they competed in track and field. And it wasn't just a situation where he was being rebellious, and it wasn't a situation where the coach was trying to make a name for himself and his 15 seconds of fame. It was an issue where the coach put a mask on himself. He went out to the track and he ran a 40-yard dash. He ran a 100-yard dash. He ran a 440 with the mask on. And he said, this is BS. These kids can't get enough air in their lungs in order to run a race. And besides that, it's more damaging to the younger students, the younger athletes. And it does a disservice. And, a quote, the Atlas reported that in an April 3rd blog post, the coach encouraged his readers to reach out to the school to combat the senseless, irrational, cowardice BS that threatened his student athletes. His name is Bradley Keyes. He's a New Hampshire track and field coach, and he was fired for the leftist nonsensical stuff. Keyes shared an email in the blog post that he reportedly sent to school's athletic director, Fred Vezina, writing, "I'll come straight to the point. I will not put kids on the track and tell them to run any races while wearing masks. I will not stand up in front of the kids and lie to them and tell them that these masks are doing anything worthwhile out in an open field with wind blowing and the sun shining," the four-year-old coach added, the four-year coach added in the email. His athletes told WBZ that they were concerned about their performance in the upcoming season with their new masking guidelines, as track and field events, of course, require an abundance of oxygen. It gets you really tired, especially when it gets up to 80 degrees soon, and it's going to be really hard for us to keep doing what we live to do, one track member told David Testerman. So Keys challenged him and said, "Fire me if you must," and they ended up firing him. And he stood his ground, and I don't blame him. Good for him.
Nope. Yep, and Tucker Carlson had him on the show, called him a hero. And this is how Coach Keys responded. He said, "I don't consider myself a hero. It takes away from the value of what being a hero really means. When someone has something important to lose, that's the better way to present it. When a fireman runs into a burning building, that's a hero." This guy gets it.
Yes, he does. He does get it. And, you know, as he said, too, these kids are outside. They're more socially distant than people sitting and standing or standing in the stands or sitting in the stands. And there's no reason for them to be wearing a mask. He also said everything has to come through the fabric. It takes extremely exhausting races and makes them significantly worse, is what Keyes said. And good for him. Good for him, because there is no science. There is no science with these masks, and especially wearing a mask while you're competing like that. And it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean,
Like you said, it's a science issue. The only reason to wear the mask would be to protect yourself from the COVID-19 virus. Now, the virus is 0.5 microns small. The average mask, even the N95, the top of the line of PPP, personal protection, can stop particulate anywhere from 20 to 100 million microns. So the virus is 0.5 microns. The best mask on the market will stop particulate of 20. Some say that is the equivalent of trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fence. Just to give you a visual, masks don't work to stop the virus, so what's the point of wearing the mask? It makes perfect sense. And this coach lost his job over this.
You know, maybe that's the reason for the buffoon Biden's gaffes. He wears two masks, so he's not getting the proper oxygen to his brain nor his lungs, and it causes, you know, mental retardation. Maybe that's what the issue is with Biden, huh? Yeah, but good for the coach, you know, for standing up. It's about time. People are starting to fight back, and you know what? Isn't it funny that New Hampshire's slogan is "Live Free or Die"? And so there's nothing about living free in New Hampshire either. The pollution of progressive politics has infected New Hampshire, and the coach was fired. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he
stuck
to his guns. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
No.
Next thing you have to do is wear your vaccine passport and pin it on your shirt, probably. Okay, well, you don't have to wear
a mask. Well, I tell you, that is an interesting topic you bring up that we should probably get into a little later in the show, the vaccine passport.
Huh.
That is social conditioning.
Oh, my God.
We'll work that in. We'll circle back to that.
Oh, thank you, Baghdad Bob Al. I appreciate that. We'll circle back to that.
my name is Jin. We'll circle back to that. I'll circle back to you on that, Mr. Vito.
We'll circle back to that.
Him, he, her.
Yeah.
Mr. Vito Esposito, him, he, her,
him, he,
maybe.
Her, eh?
We got to get to this. Him, he, her, his, her, her, she, it.
I don't
I see more
know.
People doing that after their names. I kind of, is it If you do that, does that mean you're gay? That you're saying that you're homosexual? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know.
Maybe someone could call in and school us on the him, he, her, it, she, after your name and correspondence, written correspondence.
Well,
I hear Holger's pretty in tune into that world. Maybe he could call up and tell us a little bit about it.
I had a client put that on their email.
Oh, wait, he's not here to defend himself. That was not nice.
That was rude. He's probably hunkering down in Minnesota right now,
under lockdown.
With the race baiter being up there, from Mad Maxine Waters to the other race baiter who's flying up there now, and that would be the Reverend, the phony Reverend Al Sharpton, that freaking fraud. But before we get to that, we got to talk about this one. Mm-hmm. Evian water is under fire. And
what?
Yeah. I saw this in Jihad Watch last April the 16th. And I got to tell you, this is another conditioning issue. This is something to condition the West. It's nothing more than a propaganda ploy. It is a senseless outrage. It should have never happened, and this is going to the mode of conditioning people in the West and the domination of Islam. And remember, it was Omar Ahmad, who is the co-founder of CARE, who stated that Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. And Evian Water is a French-based water company. And everybody knows that Evian makes water. Evian natural spring water is sold in bottles. It's sold in plastic containers. They sell sparkling water with different flavors. And they also have a kid's bottled water. It's sold to the general public around the world. Now, what happens at sundown during the month without lunch? Do Muslims imbibe in fluids after the sun goes down and before the sun comes up? Do they consume solid foods as well? But apparently, Evian Water now has to be conscious of tweets that they send out now during the season of Ramadan or leading up to Ramadan, because with the fragile and the mindless Muslims around the world, they made a mountain out of nothing. They have expressed outrage over nothing. Tweets have consequences, and the famed French water company Evian has learned this lesson on Tuesday. The tweet at first glance seems perfectly innocent. Now, this is the tweet that Evian Water sends out. RT, retweet if you have already drunk 1 L of water today. 1 liter of water. Okay. Imagine a company who sells bottled water, a company who sells sparkling water, sends out a tweet to the public and says, retweet if you've already drunk 1 liter of water today. And if you don't see anything Islamophobic in that, you're not alone. If you don't see anything racist in that, you're not alone. And Islam's not a race. So I don't blame you for being fickle. I don't blame you for being kind of, baffled. Noor bin Laden wrote this story and said, I had to read the comments and retweets myself to figure out what on earth the fuss was all about. It turns out that the utterly insensitive, bigoted social media manager of Evian, sitting at his desk in France, failed to take into account that Ramadan had kicked off on that very day. Retweet if you already drunk 1 liter of water. Apparently, disregarding the month-long tradition, a month without lunch. I'm sorry, which requires strict observance of fasting from dawn until dusk, no intake at all of food or water, and encouraging the consumption of their water was tantamount to goading Muslims. Really? So maybe the Evian people should have sent out their tweet at 9 o'clock at night, because by then the sun is down, and somewhere anyways, and they could start consuming water. The criticism came flooding in, with large majority decrying the bad timing of the tweet. There were others who took it further, calling the tweet racist, even though Islam is not a race, provocative, hurtful, Islamophobic. Now, let me read this again. RT, if you have already drunk 1 liter of water today, do you guys see anything in there? Do you see anything in that tweet that would be deemed under the left-wing, multicultural, politically correct word, Islamophobic? Is it hurtful? Did you drink water? Now, it might be hurtful for those that don't have access to water. I guess it would be hurtful. But then again, they probably don't have access to Twitter. They probably don't have access to the Internet. The criticism came flooding in. There were others who took it further, and they called it the tweet racist and Islamophobic. Crying face emojis with more ironic "Happy Ramadan" were all posted, and so were calls for the social media manager to be fired, and of course calls for boycott of Evian altogether. So let's see. Pepsi Cola couldn't put anything out there during the day of Ramadan. Woke Cola couldn't put anything out there. I would think the food companies like Oreo cookies and Your Pleasure Foods, Burger King, McDonald's, did they all suspend their tweeting for the day? Are they going to confine their tweets to at sundown? But then in what part of the country or what part of the world are they going to have to adjust their tweets? I mean, you know, during Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know, Christians don't go up in arms. Oh my gosh, it's Christmas. It's Easter. I can't believe Evian put a tweet out about wishing people a Christmas and drink water, when in fact we should be consuming wine. Oh, are they going to turn water into wine? I mean, this is, you know, I'm telling you, Al, this outcry that that Evian water is being excoriated for is a scam. It's a sham. It's feigned outrage. It's meant to be nothing but a domination campaign. You know, business does not stop during Ramadan or Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving. And just because you're a Muslim who doesn't drink water from sunup or sundown, it doesn't mean that the rest of the world mustn't drink either. You can go to your local stores, your Cumberland Farms, you know, your grocery stores. You can go out there. You can go to McDonald's. You can get a water. You can buy a water. You can buy soda. You know, this has become nothing more than a ruse for the domination of the infidel. You know, does Memphis King Barbecue in Schenectady suspend any daytime advertising during the day, during Ramadan? I mean, or does Coca-Cola suspend any advertising for their Dasani water in the daytime during Ramadan? I mean, not just on Twitter, on TV. On periodicals, so now we have to be conscious that you can't deliver any periodicals during the day, you know, because you might offend, God forbid, you might offend a Muslim out there who's very fragile during this month without lunch. I mean, to the point where they're retweeting profoundly shocked by this tweet by at Evian France. What are you going to do about it? Can we really tolerate this type of message in 2021? What? Indignation from New York. What? I know, what message? Did you drink a liter of water today? You know what the answer would have been from a Muslim who's practicing Ramadan? No, not until tonight. I enjoy your water. That would have been the most rational thing to say. Oh, it's Ramadan. No,
they would
have
said, yes, I drink my liter of water with my big breakfast that I had to get me going for the rest of the day, because all I'm doing is missing lunch until I eat a big dinner and gorge out all night long.
There you go. And Evian had to cave, and they issued an apology, which is, why did they even apologize?
Pussies.
Exactly.
Yeah, what are they apologizing for? They sell water. If a follower of Islam chooses not to drink water during the day, that's their choice. Doesn't mean that we have to change our lives out of respect is what they want. They want to shame you into, oh, well, if they're having a month without lunch, then you need to accommodate them and not tempt them because they're so much better than you are. This virtue signaling. You know, shove it up your ass. In fact, I'm going to go buy Evian water and I'm going to drink it. And if they really want to fast, they should be like the Jews and fast for 24 full hours, not eating or drinking anything for a whole day instead of this month without lunch. It's like fake fasting. That's why I mock it. That's why whenever you see somebody, you make it a point to say, oh, Ramadan, a month without lunch. And mock it, and then show how awake you are that you understand the holiday of Ramadan, a month without lunch. And virtue signal that.
You know, you said something earlier that was really kind of it. You think about this. They may not eat during or drink, okay, during sun up, right? But prior to that, for breakfast, they're having that huge meal. They're having their coffee, tea. They're drinking fluids. So are you telling me that, you don't drink any fluids all day for a month? No. And then when sundown comes, you gorge. They're feasting. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing that Evian said that was Islamophobic, and certainly nothing in there that was racist. Now, Evian apologized. Sorry for clumsiness of the tweet, which was in no way meant as provocation. Of course it wasn't. It was an innocent tweet. They sell water. If they sold furniture, I would expect them to say something about their furniture. If they sold hamburgers, I would expect them to be promoting hamburgers on their tweet. If they sold ice cream, I would expect Breyers to say something about their ice cream. If they sold Cadbury chocolate, I would expect Cadbury chocolate to be introducing their lines of chocolate in a tweet. Can you imagine a company in business actually promoting the line of business they so most sell? Now, we must submit, though. We must submit to Islam.
Ridiculous. Hey, Movin's on. You want to – let's bring him in.
Yeah, let's bring him on. I hope
hey,
you didn't
Movin.
Drink.
Hey, Movin. Happy month without lunch to you, my friend.
You guys finally got some fire in your belly tonight.
Well, we're just leading up to the we're just starting to get primed here.
Yeah, you need a little extra push. So I called in, and I'm a little concerned. Speaking of pushing, all of this stuff that's being brought out in the media about Minneapolis and Maxine Waters spewing hate on the National Guard. And, telling people to go out and commit violence and stuff, that's really concerning me. I served with all kinds of folks, and I still serve at work with all kinds of folks, and you pick your genre. I work with them. And Maxine Waters is out there spewing hate on my fellow veterans. And
you'll like my rant.
No.
You'll love my
hate.
Rant.
Spewing hate. And, I'm not having any of it. I'm hoping that everyone calls their congressmen, their representatives, and pushes back on this crazy woman. Because it's not right.
No,
wow,
it's not.
I just got knocked out of the chat room. I guess they don't like what I'm saying. Too bad. Too bad.
I still see you up there.
Yeah, but there's really no place for what's happening with what's going on right now with all this summer of hate. And I got to tell you, pay attention to Ukraine, what's going on. pay attention to the domestic stuff that's happening right now as a distraction to what China and Russia are doing, because I think we're going to have an interesting May Day concerned for what's happening, and it's finally starting to show up in the news about, you know, Putin's desires, his fantasy, and what's ahead. You know, ex-KGB guy getting ready to stomp on the Ukraine. And meanwhile, Hollywood Joe just sitting back talking about golf games and calling distinguished Japanese players boys from your show earlier tonight. Not paying attention to the important things that are happening. The threats against the American people. The threats
against
the
American people. That's a big geopolitical play, because I think you're right on target. Because, let's face it, Biden is weak. Russia is moving in now because they sense Biden is weak, and they're going to go ahead and take the Ukraine, or could take the Ukraine, without any response from the United States government or President Biden.
Or the U.S.
If I was a betting man, I would bet on Putin. I would bet on taking the Ukraine with no response from the United States other than some blustering, but nothing of any any major, I don't know, nothing major. It's prime time for him to go in and take it.
What's out there on the internet now? They're giving on the YouTube and the internet. They're saying what's happening. They're talking about forces, disposition lineups, just like it's a NFL Super Bowl lineup. Break out the popcorn, but I'm sorry to say it's nothing to munch about it.
Yeah, I heard they brought OJ onto the front line because he's good with a knife.
Yeah, it's going to be a bloodbath. And, you know, those Ukrainians suffered in the 30s. Millions of them died on the hand at the hands of the Russians. And then Hitler went in, and they thought they were being liberated, and they suffered again. And now it's getting ready to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to be horrible. And, you know, it's really sad to have such a weak administration. I really would like to see the Republicans and the Democrats get together and do what's right in the interest of the American people for a change. It's going to be ugly. Taiwan, the Philippines, Ukraine, those folks are suffering right now, and no one's doing a damn thing about it. And you know what could make it worse? It's happening here, and we got these you talked about earlier about pronouns. The pronouns under the Congress's name are me, mine, and more. That's their pronoun. That's what they have under their signature. And you know, it's got to stop. The stakes are way too high right now.
Well, you brought up Maxine Waters, and you know, and also you said you want Congress to do what's right, whether Republican or Democrat, and it's just not going to happen though. And I'll tell you why, because already Nancy Pelosi has come out in defense of Mad Maxine Waters and her comments, and she said, and Nancy Pelosi stated that Maxine Waters does not have to apologize in her eyes. And, you know, that's very telling. That's all we need to know about the anti-constitutionalists that are occupying the United States House of Representatives and led by one Nancy Pelosi. The oath of office for the United States Senate and for the United States House of Representative members, it states under the U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Clause 3, I'm sorry, Article 6, Clause 3. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter, so help me God.
And Maxine Waters has failed her oath of office. She has failed the United States Constitution. So has Nancy Pelosi, for that matter. But you know what's very clear, and we learned this last year, in January of 2019, we learned it very quick. When incestuous Ilhan Omar made her racist, inflammatory, anti-Semitic comments, the Speaker of the House did not penalize the incestuous Ilhan Omar. She came to her rescue. And it was Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, who stated that Ilhan Omar doesn't have command of the English language. And that was the excuse that she gave for her anti-Semitic rant. And that is not a Speaker of the House who holds her members accountable, irrespective of what side of the political aisle they sit. Now, Marjorie Greene, the representative from Georgia, has been summarily rejected by the United States House machine, led by Nancy Pelosi and all of her fucking dingbats. And what they have done to Marjorie Greene is pretty much take every committee assignment away from her and render her useless to the people of Georgia. In the meantime, you've got Eric Swalwell, who's furthered his political career by sleeping with a Chinese spy, Fang Fang. She had furthered his career as a California commissioner, a California mayor, and then into the United States House of Representatives. And what was Nancy Pelosi's response? She keeps him on House key committees, including Department of Homeland Security, and also put him on as a judge in the impeachment trial, the scam impeachment trial of President Trump. This is how she rewards her fellow Democrats. So nothing will be done to Maxine Waters as far as what Nancy Pelosi is concerned. She is the worst Speaker of the House that we have ever seen. You talked about me, mine, and more. That's exactly a great description of Nancy Pelosi. She is nothing but a feckless fraud, and she is nothing but someone who wants to acquire power, keep power, and that's the only reason why she did not leave the United States House of Representatives after she was disgraced in the 2010 midterms, after she shoved Obama Doesn't Care down the American people's throats. She remained in Congress. Why? Because she believes that she has the power, and she doesn't give a damn about you and me, we the people. She cares about me, myself, and more.
Yep, and her hubris is going to come back and bite her, because an hour ago, the judge in Derek Chauvin's murder trial and the death of George Floyd criticized recent comments by Representative Maxine Waters and said her words could be grounds for the defense to appeal a verdict. The congressman has long been a lightning rod for criticism from the right, was already facing a torrent of Republican ire for her comments that were disregarded by the Speaker of the House. Chauvin's lawyer asked the judge to declare a mistrial over Waters' comment, arguing that she had prejudiced the jury.
Yep.
Judge Peter Cahill denied the request but said that Waters' comments were abhorrent and that she may have handed the defense a lifeline anyway. And I'll give you that Congressman Waters may have given you something on appeal that may result in this whole trial being overturned. Cahill said his arguments in the case concluded Monday and the jury began deliberations. Reckless.
Well, you know, powerful words, powerful research and testimony tonight. You know, I'm really concerned as a boomer, you know, as a boomer, what's going on with this crime wave that's happening all over the country. And I'm not talking about mainstream news. I'm talking about actual statistics published by the various state police departments and officials. One thing that's horrific is the knockout game. So you may have a young person or an old anyone. It doesn't matter if they, you know, throw things out as hate crime or whatever. It's a crime. In the cities right now, young people are going out and believing there's no rules, not only in their driving habits, but young people are going out and assaulting folks just walking down the street playing the knockout game. And it's a 700% increase on the knockout game in New York City alone. And go look it up if you don't believe me. You could be walking down the street at night and someone's going to walk out and punch you and knock you out. And, you know, someone tried to do that to me in Philadelphia years ago. And thank goodness I was still nimble enough to get out of the way and saw it coming. And no kidding. And that was back in the 2012 time frame.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's a disgrace. I've got some comments about this whole thing tonight, and I'll get to it, you know, when we're done speaking here. And it is a disgrace movement, and you know, the lawlessness that we're seeing by the Democrat Communist Party is all by design. And you know, you notice that the race baiters flew to Minneapolis to incite, and of course Reverend Al has flown up there today. Jesse Jackson, I understand, is up there. And then, of course, Maxine Fraud Waters, you know, that witless wonder, she was up there this past weekend. And it's just amazing how the Democrat Party has rallied around these frauds, these race-baiting frauds, who have done nothing but unsettle societies. And suddenly, you know, civil unrest is fine. Let's persecute anybody who's on the right. On the right side of the aisle who are labeled a Republican or conservative or supported President Trump, but let's excuse the actions of the Democrat Communist Party enforcement team that goes around the country and destroys and loots and riots. Somehow we should forgive that. Let's just look at it. Let's redefine it. We'll come up with a different terminology and a different vernacular. You know, what Maxine Waters did was seditious. She violated her oath of office, and she should be held accountable for that. And sadly, we have an anti-constitutional Speaker of the House with Nancy Pelosi, who has been bought and paid for by the establishment. And she's an abhorrent woman. And I saw something about someone should retire, that old gray mare. She should retire. She is a shameless woman, and it's really pathetic that she even carries an Italian last name.
Oh, well, you know, she doesn't have to walk down the street like the rest of us.
She doesn't have
to go out and earn a living. You know, she doesn't have to risk her life driving on the highway every day. Someone drives her. She has security, lives in a prestigious neighborhood. No one's bothering her. Life goes on as normal for her and her family and her constituents. Meanwhile, the rest of us, you know, have to suffer at the will of the bourgeoisie. You know?
Yep. Exactly.
That's what's happening. And when I say bourgeoisie, I don't use that word lightly. We're talking about the communist elite. Okay? The communist elite. That's who we're dealing with. The Chuck E. Cheese Schumer and the Maxine Waters and the Nancy Pelosi, who, by the way, came from the local area here in Baltimore.
Yes. Yeah, that political machine.
Alma mater, the school of Notre Dame, watched it burn. Didn't even go back to the reunion where she had her
bastard.
First abortion. You know, debutante Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah,
she's got quite a track record. And I don't mean to be mean spirited and throw those facts out there, but they are all true.
No, so, you don't have to apologize. You know what? You're a great American. And you know what? You don't care what side of the aisle somebody sits, but right now the Democrat Communist Party has compromised politics in this country. They have compromised the United States Congress, and they have compromised the United States Constitution. And they sit here and they so want to dismantle the U.S. Constitution for their own self-rewards. And that's exactly what me, mine, and more is. It is enriching yourself, and to hell with the we the people. And you know what? I really like that. Me, mine, and you, and more. That's exactly right. They have greased their own palms, and they could give a shit about me and you moving.
Yeah, and you know, they're pushing this agenda. You know, there was a Russian army recruiting video out there recently because they're trying to, you know, they went to that volunteer force out there in Russia, and they pushed you know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, superhero in the commercial. And then they showed sensitivity training for the U.S. Army and Air Force officers walking around in heels as the contrast, saying, in Russian they were saying stuff like, we can't. basically stuff like there's nothing in front of us. Go out there on the web and look up those Russian recruiting things, and you'll see all of this diversity, inclusion, and officers walking around in heels representing the U.S. Army. And they took footage of actual, stuff. There was people in uniform attending tranny story time. Okay? There's big problems there. It's time to get it right. The communist agenda, they do stuff like that. They try and divide us with this, pandering and, hate crime laws. If you hurt somebody, it's against the law no matter who they are in America. If you
Right.
do somebody wrong, it doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter if they're Buddhist or practice Islam or Christian or practice Judaism. It doesn't matter in America.
Right.
These hate crime laws are designed to divide us, and that's exactly what these me, my, more, knuckleheads are doing. And got to get it right. Got to get the family values back, Got to do that. Hey, thanks for letting me call in and
All right,
see you
man.
A little bit. Put some fire in this show.
Anytime. All right, moving. You take care.
Great call. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you
Bye.
For your service. Bye. Boy, he nailed it. And again, to remind Americans of, to remind our global patriots, the U.S. Constitution, Article 6, Clause 3, the oath of office for members of the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives, and the members of several state legislatures, all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. And it reads, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation. And maybe that's what the issue is with Maxine Waters, is that she has a mental issue, without mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am bound about to enter, so help me God. And sadly, Al, this is what has been pushed aside. This is what's been pushed aside.
Yeah, but the judge in the Chauvin trial even called her comments abhorrent. It's an incitement to violence.
Exactly.
Where are the Republicans? Forget
the
about
cowards.
Pelosi. Where are the
yes.
Republicans? Why aren't they filing papers right now against her?
The only one that has stepped up to the plate has been is Marjorie Greene, the representative from Georgia. I'll read some comments here, some posts that tweets that Representative Greene had put out there. And right now, and I'm sure Al, you'll be really you'll be really motivated by this, but House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, he is thinking about filing charges against. He's thinking about
thinking.
It. Yeah, he is. I'm telling you, he's a tough guy now because he's the minority leader, and you know what? He's thinking about it. Yes, and really should really get really motivated that Representative McCarthy is Kevin McCarthy is contemplating it. Wow.
Yeah, I mean that area right now is a tinderbox waiting to explode. Maxine Waters. Federal representative, U.S. representative, goes in and adds fuel to the fire to the point to where the judge in the trial calls her abhorrent, her comments abhorrent, and he thinks he's going to do something. If it was a Republican, they would have already filed incitement charges against that Republican because you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. And this is Maxine Waters is yelling fire in a in a city that's ready to burn. BLM is saying if they don't get the right verdict, they're going to burn the city down like revolutionaries do. And they're not kidding. They're doing it. They've been doing it. And now she's adding fuel to the fire. How reckless. She needs to be censured. She needs to lose her seat over this and face criminal charges.
Exactly. I mean, this is far worse than the accusations against Marjorie Greene, where she was removed from committee assignments for comments that she made 3-4 years ago, and questioning stuff. That's what all she did. Her guilt was questioning, having the audacity to question and ask questions.
Yep. You know, it's almost like she went up there. She knows the law. She's been in Washington for years, decades. She knows the law. It's almost like I think that she wants a mistrial so the place will burn.
You know what?
That may be her motivation. Is she wants a mistrial, and she's going to manufacture a mistrial, or at least try to, knowing that the city's going to burn.
Do you know something? That is a very good point. You know, what has the Democrat Communist Party done over the last, just since January? We know going back, you know, they made race an issue. They basically have manufactured a racial tension in America, but they're able to push it even further along with Beijing Biden in office because he has the same feckless and fraudulent mentality. But, you know, you got a point there. The witless Waters has been in Congress for, what, 30 years? She's 82 years old. She knows what the law is. She understands the law. And to make such inflammatory comments and to deny rights to individuals, you know, what has the Democrat Communist Party built their platform on over the last 2 years? And it's race. And if this becomes a mistrial, then the George Floyd saga continues. It lives on. And it's something that the communist BLM can continue to extract and strong-arm corporations to continue to pay and shake down corporations in America. But it enables the race-baiting Democrat Communist Party to keep this racial tension issue at the forefront and manufacture even more of a tension. And then, of course, you know, with the violence from the Democrat Communist Party enforcers, the BLM and Antifa, they can go around the country, you know, and tear up businesses, riot in cities, and the George Floyd saga continues to live on. And you may have struck something there. I didn't think about that. That is a really good point. Because the Democrat Communist Party wants this. That's right. These communists want race to be a divider in America, and they can't. You know, I have something to say about this, and you go ahead, please continue, because I'm gonna go off here in a minute.
Well, all I was gonna say is that she knows exactly what she's doing. She's known for. She doesn't give a rat's ass about Floyd or Chauvin or the trial or any of that. She sees the bigger Marxist picture of disruption and overpowering the system.
God,
now,
that's just
go get them. I'm on mute. Go get them.
So members of the United States Congress, specifically those of the Democrat Communist Party, have done it. The Democrat Communist Party are the most anti-American and anti-constitutionalist in the country. From Rashida Mother Effer Tlaib to the irrational racist, the witless Maxine Waters, what we're seeing and hearing from these radical anti-American buffoons would sicken our founding fathers. Rashida Mother Effer Tlaib decided to weigh in on the shooting of Daunte Wright. Daunte Wright, who's a criminal who assaulted a police officer and resisted arrest. So let's look right at the facts. Daunte Wright
was a 20-year-old criminal from Minneapolis, Minnesota, suburb of Brooklyn. He was no choir boy, and he was not a victim. He was a thug. He was a wannabe tough guy until he met his fate trying to be one of those tough guys. A criminal who had an open warrant for his arrest related to an aggravated armed robbery attempt. Did you get that? An aggravated armed robbery attempt. He wasn't a young black male out for an afternoon walk who was chased down by police and shot simply because of the color of his skin. Dante Wright was a criminal who had an open warrant for an arrest related to an aggravated armed robbery attempt. And as we're seeing as many criminals do when confronted by law enforcement today, they believe it's fashionable to resist arrest. And that's the sales job by the communist movement in America today, is to resist. Even if you're a criminal, because the communist movement has demonized, they vilified law enforcement in America today. Most or all of you in the chat room know there may be consequences for one's actions should they resist law enforcement, should they assault a law enforcement officer, or even pull a weapon on an officer. So Dante Wright and another man identified as Image Maurice Driver, a high school acquaintance, had both been charged with first-degree aggravated robbery in December 2019 incident in Owosso, Minnesota, Hennepin County District Court documents show. The charges were not petty theft or third-degree burglary in an unoccupied dwelling or a business, but first-degree aggravated robbery. As Dante Wright and Driver were waiting for their rides, a woman who they were staying with stayed behind, so Wright allegedly blocked the door for her getting out. Wright then allegedly pulled a black handgun with a silver trim out from either his right waistband or his right coat pocket, pointed it at the woman, and demanded the $820 that she was going to use to pay her rent. The 20-year-old choir boy pulled a handgun on a woman and stole $820 from her, choked the woman, and then pulled the $820 in cash that she had stuffed under her bra. So he assaulted her as well. Now the left-wing communist movement, including the anti-American frauds in Congress, have canonized this 20-year-old criminal. All the 20-year-old thug had to do was listen to police, was to heed their demand to get out of the car, and if he was truly a man, he would have accepted the punishment for doing his crime. What was the old Beretta song by Sammy Davis Jr.? Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. But the value system no longer applies in the United States of the offended. No longer should anyone be held accountable in a lawless society. So Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib first weighs in, you know, the anti-American genius from Michigan, the same Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib who's been silent after two Islamic terror attacks on U.S. soil this year. Tlaib, the anti-Semite who hasn't peeped about an Islamic brother who walked into a Boulder, Colorado supermarket and killed 10 white people, including a Boulder, Colorado police officer, Eric Talley. Now, Tlaib seems to be okay with police officers being attacked and even killed because Jihad Jane Tlaib wants law enforcement in America to be abolished. Hell, even L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva says that the far left defund police narrative and progressive officials are responsible for the worrying spike in violent crime. Like the murders being up nearly 200% in Los Angeles County. And even though L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva is concerned about this bogus defund police movement. Now, here's what the anti-American, thick-witted Tlaib had to say about the Brooklyn, Minnesota shooting. She tweeted out, it was an accident. Policing in our country continues to be racist, both inherently and intentionally. It is a fact that Dante Wright was met with violence and aggression. I don't appreciate those who condone government-funded murder. Well, Rashida Mother Effa Tlaib couldn't be any more wrong, and on so many accounts. And what's even more troubling is this person now sits in the U.S. Congress on key House committees and votes on legislation to become law. And of course, the thick-witted Tlaib didn't miss an opportunity to play the race card as usual. She was silent when an Islamic jihadist killed 10 white people, including white Jews, in a Boulder, Colorado supermarket. The thick-witted Tlaib has been silent when an Islamic jihadist killed a Capitol Police officer, a white Capitol Police officer, an 18-year veteran, when the Islamic Brothers stabbed another officer as well. Yet Tlaib states, policing in our country continues to be racist? That is absolute bull. That is hogwash. And it is a flat-out lie. The thick-witted Tlaib is an anti-American agitator. She is a fraud. Dante Wright was a victim of his upbringing, of a society that Tlaib and Waters are actively seeking to create in America. No accountability for one's actions if you commit a crime in America. Instead of Tlaib and Waters demanding criminals' compliance and respect for the rule of law, the respect for law enforcement in America, Tlaib and Waters undermine law enforcement and undermine the rule of law and make criminals like Dante Wright and George Floyd out to be victims. Tlaib and Waters have no problem with the Democrat Communist Party and forces engaging in violence to burn down, to loot, and to destroy cities in America. Tlaib and Waters continue with their incitement to violence against law-abiding citizens, law-abiding businesses, and dedicated law enforcement men and women around the country. But the thick-witted Tlaib went a step further in retweeting a tweet that mocked the accidental death of Wright, saying that they spelled murder wrong again, implying that accident should have been spelled murder. You know, the thick-witted Tlaib is nothing but a hater. The officer clearly thought she was grabbing her taser. And the commandante writes, any type of man that he thought he would be, he would have taken his consequences by law enforcement as a man. The actions of being a criminal. Well, he wanted to be a man. Why didn't he act like a man? He was a thug. Murder. A criminal who assaults a police officer and resists arrest, and all a police officer was doing their job. She was upholding the law as their oath requires, and it's something that I guess the witless Waters and the thick-witted Tlaib have a difficult time understanding. Is the thick-witted Tlaib outraged over 100 police officers dying on the streets of America in the line of duty this year? Huh? No sorrow expressed there. Two at the hands of her Islamic brothers in Boulder, Colorado, and Washington, D.C. alone. Oh, that's right. You know what? Tlaib conveniently omits those deaths from her fraudulent outrage. You know, Rashida Mother Effa Tlaib is a disgrace. She's inciting hate while protecting the criminals who break the law. And guess what? That's why she's a good fit to be a member of Congress in the Democrat Communist Party. And then there's another irrational anti-American in Congress, Maxine Waters, and we've been talking about her today, and you've been reading about her at ad nausea. She took the incitement to violence even a step further than Jihad Jane Tlaib by instructing people of Brooklyn, Minnesota, and the enforcement arm of the Democrat Party, BLM and Antifa, to step up their acts of violence and lawlessness. A comment by a law enforcement officer, a 13-year veteran, Jonathan Vasquez, who commented on Florida's anti-protest House Bill 1 bill, which encourages peace. Officer Vasquez stated the following: When people engage in acts or threats of violence and intimidation as a means to achieve a political objective, that is not protest. It is terrorism. Officer Jonathan Vasquez wrote a letter to the editor in an op-ed piece in support of Florida 8, House Bill 1, with regards to encouraging peace. And Al's going to talk about that a little bit later. But I got to tell you, that was a really, really good piece by a law enforcement officer. If anti-police protesters don't get what they want from the justice system, they need to become more confrontational, said Democrat Representative Maxine Waters of California, said Saturday. Maxine Waters is a terrorist. She is a domestic terrorist. Waters attended an anti-police protest in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, which on Saturday marked a week of protests over last Sunday's police shooting of thug Dante Wright. Wright, 20, who is black, was shot by police, so they thought, to take him into custody. Oh, but you know what? He fought police. He resisted arrest, and there are consequences for that. But apparently, in the Waters Tlaib world, there shouldn't be any consequences for your actions. So he wanted to be a man. He wanted to be a tough guy until he was confronted by police. He couldn't face his crime because he was a coward. He's nothing but a thug. So Wacky Waters stated anti-police protests don't get what they want. There'll be violence. Wow. Can you imagine a member of the United States House of Representatives goes to a city in which she does not have any jurisdiction in with regards to representing, and she decides to incite people to violence? This is why what occurred on January 6, 2021 at the U.S. Capitol, and blaming President Trump for the so-called insurrection was a sham. It was a scam. It was a government party ruse. And what the anti-American Maxine Waters has done, and in fact did yet again in Minnesota this past weekend, is an incitement to violence. It's an act of calling for civil unrest. In America, an accused has a right to a fair trial. Now, the Democrat Communist Party may not like that, and it may not fit their agenda. But in America, an accused has a right to a fair trial. A sitting member of Congress wants to circumvent U.S. law, wants to circumvent the United States Constitution. The Constitution, which she has taken an oath to protect and defend. And in 1966, a landmark decision was handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court, Miranda versus Arizona, and the Miranda warnings was born. A person being arrested has the right to remain silent and a right to an attorney. Any statement made by may be used against them in a court of law. The accused has rights, but not according to the witless Waters. Today, 55 years later, the rule of law means nothing to the Democrat Communist Party as they seek to undermine the rule of law in America. They seek to undermine U.S. law enforcement, demonizing police, seeking to keep a civil society. The witless Waters, a sitting member of Congress, blatantly seeks to violate an accused right to a fair trial by influencing a jury, influencing the people, calling on the enforcers of the Democrat Communist Party to rise to violence. Well, the witless Waters is a vile individual. She is reprehensible and unfit to serve in the United States Congress. But what's worse? What is worse? The witless Waters is a protected species by the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who is also an anti-constitutionalist. He is complicit to the witless Waters and the thick-witted Tlaib disrespecting the American people, stomping on the U.S. Constitution and our republic by keeping the unfit, irrational, witless women in Congress and in key committee positions. There is one representative, Representative Marjorie Greene, who was conveniently railroaded by Nancy Pelosi and company, has introduced a resolution to expel Mad Maxine Witless Waters from Congress. Now, obviously, we know the corrupt, petulant, partisan Pelosi will protect her puppets in the Democrat Communist Party. There is no decorum. There are no ethics. And there are certainly no morals in the petulant Pelosi Democrat Communist Party. The petulant partisan Pelosi is the perfect anti-constitutionalist to protect the members of our House tribe. And those tribe members include the witless Waters and the thick-witted Rashida Mother Effer Tlaib. Nancy Pelosi has done the protecting of the compromised Chinese stooge Eric Swalwell, the anti-Semitic, anti-American, incestuous Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Mother Effer Tlaib, and of course the pedophile Adam Schiff. Now, Representative Green didn't stop. She tweeted out the following. There are three tweets that I copied down. After traveling across state lines to incite riots, her orders, recorded on video last night at the Brooklyn Center, talking about Waters, directly led to more violence and a drive-by shooting on National Guardsmen in Minnesota early this morning. The second tweet by Representative Green. As a sitting U.S. Congresswoman, Maxine Waters threatened a jury demanding a guilty verdict and threatened violence if Chauvin is found not guilty. This is abuse of power. Hashtag expel Maxine Waters. And the third tweet, which I thought was one of the best. At Speaker Pelosi, you impeached President Trump after you said he incited violence by saying march peacefully to the Capitol. So I can expect a yes vote from you on my resolution to expel Representative Maxine Waters for inciting violence, riots, and abusing power and threatening a jury, right? We all know that won't happen. What the witless Waters did in Brooklyn, Michigan, I'm sorry, in Brooklyn, Minnesota, is not just a disgrace, but intentionally dangerous. Waters is a racist, a race-baiting, anti-constitutional, seditious criminal, and it's absolutely reprehensible. And thank you to Representative Green for moving to expel Waters from Congress. She is no longer fit, nor is she stable to be in the United States Congress. And Al, if anybody knows about being railroaded, Representative Marjorie Green knows it firsthand how to be railroaded by the Nancy Pelosi machine in the United States House of Representatives.
Great rant.
Thank you. I'm absolutely sickened by this. I'm sickened by a member of the United States House of Representatives going in and demanding a guilty verdict and, excuse me, in the United States of America, an accused has a right to a fair and speedy trial, and they are making sure that this is not a fair trial. It's based solely upon race and emotion, and that's what the Democrat Communist Party is today. They are racist, and they are emotional thieves. They steal people's emotions is what they do, and they're stealing our republic. They are stealing our Constitution, and they are violating the rights of all Americans in the United States of America. These people no longer have the respect, nor do they revere the United States Constitution. Why? And I think I'm going to use Movin's terminology. Why? Me, mine, and more. It's exactly what it is. Isn't it funny that 3M is in Minnesota as well? Me, mine, and more.
All the race baiters are coming out to play. They're smelling blood.
Oh, it's disgusting.
And it's horrible. So what, they're going to make George Floyd a martyr and a hero? The guy's a felon, a crook. He held a gun to a pregnant woman's belly during a home invasion. None of that could be part of the trial, unfortunately. And then this.
Yes, exactly.
Sitting congressman inciting violence. And then you got the other shooting, Duante, who resisted arrest. You got that fueling fire. If he just complied, comply, stay alive. That's my new motto.
Hey, arrive alive, comply, comply alive. That's exactly right. That's exactly
comply,
right.
Stay alive. When a cop tells you to dance on one leg and rub your belly, you dance on one leg and rub your belly. You say, yes, sir, no, sir. You take your keys out of the ignition. You put them on the dashboard, hands at 10 and 2. Roll down your windows, speak when spoken to. Yes, sir, no, sir. The officer will make sure the scene is safe, and then he will ask you your point of view, or else he will write you a ticket, tell you the charge, and send you on your way. That is how you handle a traffic stop. The officer's job is not to make the laws. The officer's job is to enforce the laws. And, yes, you're angry because you are going 38 and a 35 mile per hour. You're upset that you're getting a ticket. You're upset that your insurance is going to go up, and you're upset at the inconvenience. All for charges you think is unnecessary, but you did break the law. You're not mad at the cop. You're really mad at yourself, but you're taking it on the officer, and they see this time and time again because it's human nature. And a cop does not wake up at night wanting to go and kill a suspect. They've got to arrest this person. They want to go home at night to their families safely. They have an impossible job. You have to be enforcer, you have to be psychologist, psychiatrist. You have to be able to de-escalate a situation. You have to be able to read people's emotions. And God, I tell you, I could not be a cop. I don't have the patience for it.
Well,
God bless our men in blue, because if we lose them, they are the thin blue line between a safe society and chaos and anarchy. And that's all
exactly.
It takes. All these people that want to defund the police, Vito, it's not because they hate the police. They hate our society, and they know that if they can remove that linchpin, the floodgates of lawlessness will take over the major cities and the suburbs across this country, and it'll destabilize our country without a law enforcement mechanism. I'm convinced of it.
Well, I mean, but what other – and think about it now. What other reason would there be to defund police? I mean, that is an absolute asinine call. That's an asinine cause. You know, the police don't go out and seek out people of color, black people, and oh, you know what? I think I'm going to shoot a black person today. That is absolutely untrue. You know, a relative of mine who is black made a statement, and I thought, and I was waiting for it. And she said, you know, George Floyd wasn't sought out because he was black. George Floyd was arrested for committing a crime. And she said, you know, isn't counterfeiting a crime? I said, yeah. So he stole, in essence, he stole from that business owner, or he tried to steal from that business owner and was caught. And all he had to do was accept the punishment. All he had to do was follow the instructions of the police officers. But again, he was strung out on drugs. His body was infused with drugs. And suddenly the police officers have to be the ones that bear the brunt of the consequences of a criminal who does not heed their warnings for whatever reason. They're either strung out, they have no intent on being taken to jail, but he committed a crime. And it's okay now to look beyond that, look over that. Don't even look at that fact, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at the fact that he committed a crime. Don't look at the fact that this thug, 20-year-old Dante Wright, committed a crime, okay? He wasn't just sought out because he was black. He was pulled over for a reason, and there was an outstanding warrant. Now, that all seems to be inconsequential here. And immediately, you know, and Holzer brought up a great point. He goes, isn't it funny that in 2 days we knew the name, sex, the gender, the birth date, and we have a photo of the police officer who was involved in the shooting of Dante Wright. And 3 months later, we still don't know the name of the law enforcement official who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt in the United States Capitol. And we will never know
who that officer, that law enforcement officer was wearing gloves, who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt. And Hoser made a great point. And if he was here, I would tell him that. Wow, you talk about calling on cue. Holy cow.
I got you on speed dial.
Oh.
We
I was saying homage
Holger,
to you.
Welcome.
Good evening, Holger.
I think the Viking horn is soon to be replaced by the voice of Maxine Waters. She's the new symbol of Minnesota.
I don't have
very
a groove, card button.
Move to Florida. Move while you can. Very quick phone call, but I just wanted to hit home on your talk about Congresswoman Waters. And just to really... really underline the time frame of her comments. She made those comments on Saturday night at the protest, okay? Now, you know, one of the things people don't talk about is the fact that she was out on the streets illegally because she was violating curfew.
Okay? Oh.
So all the protesters are out there. You know, the curfew applies to all the white folk in Minnesota. But if you're black, you can be out all night, okay, apparently. So she was on the streets violating a law, a curfew law, okay? So she makes the comment about we need to get more confrontational. So she's talking to the protesters and saying, we need to get more confrontational, okay? 7 hours later, an SUV with black males in it drives by a few National Guardsmen and does a drive-by shooting and injures two guardsmen.
Mm.
Now, you think about the flimsy case against Donald Trump inciting the violence that led to the Capitol incursion and whatnot. All that flimsy, oh, he started it. It's because of what he said, this is what happened. Has Nancy Pelosi made one comment about the fact that 7 hours after Maxine Waters called for those people to become more confrontational, that National Guards troops were injured in a drive-by shooting?
Nothing. Nothing.
You know?
Matter of fact, Nancy Pelosi said what Maxine Waters says did not cross the line. She had the right to say it. Really? Oh, okay. And she used cops as bodyguards, too. Isn't that something? Thank you, Iggy. Yeah. Isn't that something?
So, and then the only other thing I had was just to keep this in perspective, because it seems like, you know, Minnesota is the epicenter of of every racial strife in this country. You know, part of the reason they're targeting Minneapolis, okay, the left, the cultural Marxists, the race baiters, the people that want all-out race war in this country, they're targeting Minneapolis because, first of all, it's one of the most liberal cities in America, and secondly, living here all my life mostly, the state is known for its white guilt. I mean, the black population of Minnesota is probably, you know, less than any other state other than, you know, like Wyoming and Alaska and North Dakota. So the white guilt in Minnesota is incredible. So bottom line is they targeted Minneapolis because there, first of all, there's this whole groundswell of sympathy, empathy going on here. So they know they can basically get away with anything. So in other words, Maxine Waters' comments, she's not going to get assailed by anybody in the state of Minnesota, anybody in the media in Minnesota, because it's off limits. You can't say anything bad about Maxine Waters in Minnesota. Especially in Minneapolis. So So, you know, there's a method to their madness. That's one of the reasons why they're all flocking here. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Maxine Waters, they feel absolutely insulated and protected by coming here because they can do anything they want.
But you have a black mayor.
What's that?
You have a black mayor.
Not
in
Minneapolis.
A position of power.
Minneapolis mayor is white. Oh, my mistake.
So,
but,
hold your...
But I want to just, since I'm on the air here, I just want to... you know, I think it's just important to know the scenery up here and why it, you know, why we seem to be in the news here so much. But I wanted to, I'm trying to look it up here. The mayor of St. Paul is Melvin Carter. Oh, dang it. Talk about something else, Beetle. Let me just find this article real quick here.
I'd like to know, you know, when did this change? You know, when did this mindset in Minneapolis change? I mean, I understand in 1972, was it, where the election of 72, Walter Mondale, no, was it, I'm sorry, 1980, Walter Mondale got, you know, one state, and that was Minnesota. But where is this white guilt from? I mean, has it always been there, being in the Midwest, being the center of the country? What changed?
You know, and I don't think it really changed. It's all, you know, you're dealing with places like Minnesota and Iowa and the Dakotas and so forth, where the black population is 2-3%. I mean, it's minuscule. And so, you know, people's, you know, I mean, I was 20 years old before I saw my first live black person. You know, I grew up in rural Minnesota, but I mean, that's just the fact. And so I think it's always been part of the culture up here with the liberal undertonings of the Twin Cities that, you know, you know, that's just the way people are. And
now
we know, I found out when it all started. It all started when the Mary Tyler Moore Show got canceled. Minneapolis started a downhill trend soon after.
That's good. What about the riots that ensued after Justine Damon was shot by the Muslim police officer? I mean, that had to be terrifying too. I mean, the amount of riots that ensued, the burning of cities of Minneapolis. Did that happen at all, or did we miss that in the news? I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Oh yeah, that made all the news. That made all the news networks because you know, the riots were, you know, it was like 18 days of straight rioting over her death. And of course, Jim Jordan came to Minneapolis and told all the white people in the Twin Cities to go out and kick some ass. Don't you remember that? No, and I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, here's a woman gunned down by a Muslim cop, and when I say the sympathy and the empathy towards the black people, it's not just that. It's against all minorities. It's against, the same is true with Muslims. Think about it. How much activity did you see over the years in Minneapolis in regards to Al-Shabaab, the recruitment of Muslims from the United States to go to Somalia and fight for Al-Shabaab?
Yeah,
know, it's not a coincidence that this shit all happens in Minneapolis. Where's Ilhan Omar from? It's not
Somalia.
A coincidence.
Yeah.
It's like a Petri dish up here. So, and I got to get running here, but I can't find the stupid quote from the St. Paul mayor, but his name is Melvin Carter, and he's a black man, first black mayor ever in St. Paul. Now, here's a guy that's in the neighboring city to this big, huge Chauvin trial, George Floyd trial. And he basically came out with a quote just in the last week or so and basically stated that, and I'm just going to paraphrase the best I can here, guys, but he basically said, we've seen the video. We know what happened. And it better go down the way it's supposed to go down in this jury's decision. Now, he didn't go, as far as Maxine Waters to make a threat.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, here's the mayor of a city saying, right next to Minneapolis, whose residents are nervous as hell right now that all hell's going to break loose if this decision goes the wrong way. And he's basically saying, we all know what happened. And if we don't get the decision that we're supposed to get, then we better look out. He said something like, we know what we can expect, something to that degree. And I thought to myself, how totally irresponsible for a government official to, first of all, even wade into the trial.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, basically he just said, we know this cop is guilty, and he better well be convicted. That's the mayor of St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah, the rule of law doesn't apply. And somehow, we got to know what decision is right. Well, what's right? I mean, does he get a trial by jury of his peers? I mean, we all knew that O.J. Simpson should get what he got. And, wait a minute, he was found not guilty. So it was proven otherwise in the court of law. I mean, Derek Chauvin is able to get a jury trial of his peers, and facts should be laid out. What happened with George Floyd? What were the underlying conditions? What caused it? What led up to it? I mean, these are things that you don't think about because emotion doesn't drive someone's sentence. The facts are supposed to. And that's why you have a trial. And somehow now with the Democrat Communist Party, facts don't mean anything because the ends justify the means. They are the jury, they are the judge, and they are the executioners. And that's what the Democrat Party wants to be today. They are going to dictate the outcome of a trial, irrespective of the facts.
Well, and you nailed it there when you said that the facts don't matter. Because that's what this Melvin Carter, mayor of St. Paul, is capitalizing on, on this society, this culture of ours, where basically people make their minds up off of a 45-second clip on CNN, okay? They see this little teeny clip of this video with the police officer's knee on the back of this guy. They hear someone commenting about he can't breathe kind of a thing. And that's basically what Mayor Melvin Carter is saying. We all saw what happened. He didn't mention in the little 30-second clip. He didn't mention that George Floyd said, I can't breathe when he's sitting in the back of the car. Why would you be saying, I can't breathe when you're sitting in the back of a car and there's nobody touching you?
Right.
Okay. And so, but that's, that's the facts. They're not important.
Right.
And it just infuriates me when you've got this mass of people in this country who make their minds up about stuff with so little information. I mean, I'm watching a protest the other night in Minneapolis on a live feed, and these kids are standing in the front lines, and they got their hands up, hands up, don't shoot. And I'm like, my God, they're still saying that after all these years since Ferguson?
Yeah.
Proven without a doubt that the guy lied, flat out made it up that Michael Brown had his hands up in the air and said, don't shoot. He fabricated the whole thing. But what percentage of Americans actually know that? What percentage of Americans actually think he had his hands up and was screaming, don't shoot? I mean, 90% of Americans still believe it.
Yep.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
Boys. That's all I got. Great
call. All right,
man.
Thank you.
Great call.
Thanks for calling in,
all
man.
Right. See you later.
Stay safe, will you? Please stay safe. Yeah, he brought up a couple of good points there, and then Iggy Pop also. And Mom pointed out something in the chat room that that the witless Wonder Waters she demanded an armed escort. She had armed police officers being her. Let me get it here.
Well, breaking curfew, she's breaking the law.
Yeah, exactly. She is cops' bodyguards.
I didn't know about that angle. Yeah,
I didn't either.
Think about that angle.
Yeah, you know, again, it's the emotion part of it, Al. We're not supposed to know the curfew. Holder had to drive, you know, how many miles to a gas station to get gas for his vehicle, just like all other Minnesotans who were subject to the curfews because of the unhinged and emotional outrage that's up there and the incitement to violence. And Maxine Waters goes in, demonizes police, but make sure that she has armed guards, okay, police officers as bodyguards. This is how phony and fraudulent the left wing truly is. They are a bunch of frauds. They are cowards. And Maxine Waters is a racist coward. She uses the police when she needs them for protection, but then she demonizes them just like the thick-witted Tlaib does. The same thing. You know, they demonize police, but boy, they're the first ones to request some sort of a bodyguard, law enforcement bodyguard, because these cowards, you know, don't want to be attacked by a mob, so to speak. Yet they'll incite to violence is what they will do.
Yep. Double standard, duplicity, lies.
Oh.
All based on race.
Emotion. Tug at the heartstrings, make it about, you know, something that can tug at someone's emotions rather than facts, okay? You know, what is the outcome that you want, okay? To expect the outcome. Well, what is that? Is a person, an accused, allowed to a fair trial, to a speedy trial as guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution? Yes. And so you're not the judge, jury, and executioner. You may have an opinion. We have an opinion. That is fine. But it's not based on a fact of the outcome of a trial. There's so much that came out in that trial that people didn't even know about. The underlying health conditions of George Floyd. Okay, what happens if he would have died in jail from a heart attack because he had 90% blockage in his arteries? Then what they would have done? They would have taken the Hennepin County jail, and they would have prosecuted the court system for the guy dying in jail, abuse of power, when in fact he had a medical condition. He was high and he was stoned. Okay, he was stoned on meth. How much of a life expectancy does somebody like that have who's a chronic drug user, huh? And you know what? Why did he resist arrest? He resisted arrest. Why? Because he was strung out on dope. You know, somehow.
And he was guilty.
And he was guilty. And somehow it's fashionable today to resist arrest because, you know, it's the Maxine Waters who for the last 4 years have called for resistance against law enforcement. It's the Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib who have called for resisting against law enforcement. Why? That's anarchy. You have taken an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. If you commit a crime in America, you have a right to a fair and speedy trial. Yes, you are arrested. You either got to accept the consequences for your actions, or you mount a great defense to prove your innocence. When a white woman gets killed, slain, wearing a bathrobe, and is slain by a Minneapolis Muslim police officer, there were no riots. Our civil rights were violated, Justine Damon. Where is the outrage? Where are the race baiters, huh, calling for justice for Justine? Huh? They were nowhere. They were nowhere. What is this, another mass shooting? 5 people shot in Shreveport, Louisiana, according to the Gulf?
Oh, no.
Well, you know what? Are you surprised? Really, seriously.
There's a triple shooting in Austin today as well.
Yeah,
I
saw
know about
that.
This one in Shreveport. Wow.
I think it just happened.
I don't remember this large number of mass shootings and violence when President Trump was in office. It's like it all just started.
Uncontrolled.
It's like a light switch flipped.
Gun control. Oh, hey, you know what? I know I'm not making light of it. I'm not making light of the shooting, okay? But I'm telling you, this is the methodology of the Democrat Communist Party. They're seeking to dismantle the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, all five components, and they have such a hard-on to dismantle the Second Amendment. And they know if they can dismantle the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights, the entire Bill of Rights goes. And then we get into a democracy. This is where the me, mine, and more, they now have gained absolute power by getting rid of the Bill of Rights. And there's no way, shape, or form that we have the number of shootings since January 20, 2021, if it wasn't by design, if it wasn't by it, this isn't just happenstance. We have an administration that is hell-bent of disarming the American people. And now we've got these mass shootings because they know there's no consequences, okay, for actions. Let's defund the police, and now you've got lawlessness. You know, why didn't the FBI disarm this youth? Okay, why didn't law enforcement take away this youth's right to purchase a weapon, huh? Why? In Austin. What, you know what? I'm sorry. This is all by design, and all of a sudden we have these self-inflicted deaths from these terrorists, and we've got Beijing Biden, that feckless old fraud who has been pushing nothing but gun control along with communist Kamala. These people are anti-constitutionalist. They are lawless, and they want this to happen. They want these shootings to occur. They want an America in fear of a pandemic, in fear of guns. They want people in fear of your constitutional rights. There are no more constitutional rights in America. Okay, you know what? They want the outcome of the Derek Chauvin trial. Well, we know what the outcome should be. You got to do what's right. Well, what's right? Is he innocent until proven guilty? I mean, let's face it. If you're an elected official who took an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, that means irrespective of your emotion, this individual, Derek Chauvin, has a right to a fair trial, a trial by jury of his peers, and facts come out. The facts come out. But apparently, the facts don't matter any longer with the Democrat Communist Party. The facts just don't matter anymore. It's how the emotion is, how they can incite people emotionally in America, irrespective of the facts. And that's what's sickening today with the Democrat Communist Party in America. That is what's sickening, Al.
Yep. Well, apparently, this shooting in Shreveport looks like a drive-by shooting that looks like gang-related situation, highly likely that no one was shooting, was licensed to carry. Still, nothing's confirmed so far. This is a developing story. We'll be updated as more information becomes available.
So criminals have guns. Oh, what's a shocker, huh? Criminals have guns. Oh, but let's disarm the law-abiding citizen who respects the rule of law, who respects guns, who respects weapons, and let's disarm them so that only criminals have guns. I tell you, it's amazing. And let's see, January 20th was what? January, February, March, we're not even to April 20th, so we're just shy of 4 months. And you've got Beijing, Biden, and the Democrat Communist Party have turned America upside down. And all with a, you know what? They were successful in rigging the election, and they got what they wanted. They have a chimpanzee in the White House who they can pull his strings, and he can repeat, and he can, you know, he can be racist, you know, call Hideki Matsuyama a Japanese boy, and there's no consequences. Everybody just laughs. But boy, if Donald Trump would have even uttered those words, they would have absolutely gone ballistic over it. I mean, it would have made it an international incident. And to boot, the feckless fraud, Biden says it to the Japanese prime minister. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a buffoon. It's just one gaffe after another with this guy. And you're telling me he got 81 million votes? There is no freaking way this feckless old fraud got 81 million votes. None. Zero. You can't convince me otherwise.
Well, we got the Mike Lindell radio show and program on now 24/7 with his new website, Let's Be Frank, frank.com.
Oh.
And he's making an effort to go outside of the cancel culture and speak the truth, conservative values, talk about God, country, and the Constitution without fear of being canceled. And he's doing it. So this is some of the pushback. So congratulations to Mike Lindell for his efforts. And hopefully we'll have a free platform to where we can speak without fear of getting cyber-whacked or canceled.
Good for him. And you know what? Isn't that what America is based on? You know what? Somebody takes a risk. Risk takers take a risk, and they're rewarded. And how will Mike Lindell be rewarded? By people turning the channel and turning to his channel. You know, why are sports, you know, the professional sports, they're reeling right now. ABC Sports is down something like, what, 30 or 40%? Why? Because the American people can turn the channel. That is the option of the American people. I love these cancel culture people. Oh, well, you know, the right are boycotting, you know. What do you call that? No, what the right does is if they don't agree with it, all they do is they simply – turn the channel. We don't piss and moan and we don't whine. We simply turn the channel because we can watch something else. Okay. And suddenly they're starting to get the message. Well, ABC Sports is down, you know, 44%. Why? Because the American people have had it. Okay. I don't want to hear a guy who bounces a ball on the wooden floor. I don't give a shit about his opinion right now in politics. You know, when he sits there and he defends communist China, who pays their people $6 a day, $5 a day, $4 a day to make his fucking sneakers where he's making millions, okay? And he's scolding the United States of America, who has given him an opportunity to play to a sport that he absolutely loves, okay? Play a game that he loves and make millions and then go out, okay, and demean the very country that's afforded him the opportunity to be a success at his craft. And yet he lauds a communist country who violates human rights, who indentures their people, who sends their citizens into servitude, okay? And the people who make his products are making like $4 a day. And these are the fucking geniuses, okay, that are playing professional sports who rail against the United States of America. And then you've got this witless wonder, Waters, okay, out there spewing venom, inciting people to riot, inciting people to violence. What she said, what President Trump had said, was peacefully walk down to the Capitol. What she is saying, confront these people because we know what the outcome should be. No, you don't know what the outcome should be. In America, the accused is innocent until proven guilty. And all these people have done is work on emotion because that's what the Democrat Communist Party does. It prides on your emotion. It drives on your emotion. The facts are irrelevant. The facts are what they deem the facts to be. And if you're guilty in the left wing's eyes, you're guilty, especially if you're sitting on the right side of the aisle. If you're sitting on the right side of the aisle and you have an R after your name, you're guilty. It doesn't matter. Marjorie Greene, you're going to be stripped of all committee assignments. Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib, we're going to leave you on the Homeland Security The anti-Semite, incestuous Ilhan Omar, you make anti-Semitic remarks, you lie about American forces, what they did in Mogadishu, what they did in your supposed home country, okay? You lie about the American military, and you're still rewarded with being on key committee assignments. You've been nothing but an agitating fraud. And yet, there are no consequences for your actions. But if you're Marjorie Greene because you have an R after your name, we are going to relegate you to the basement of the U.S. House, and you will have no voice whatsoever. And so, you know what? Kudos to Representative Greene for launching the Expel Maxine Waters campaign. Expel Maxine Waters from the United States Congress. She threatened the jury. She's demanding a guilty verdict, and she's threatened violence in Minnesota. And then she takes her happy ass back to Washington, D.C., leaves her security team behind, okay, because she doesn't have the intestinal fortitude, okay, to stand out there like a woman, okay? She's got to be out there like the queen that she believes she is. Tell you, this Democrat Communist Party is nothing but a cancer on our republic. And they so want to change. They so want to rid our republic of our U.S. Constitution. They want to dismantle that Constitution. And you know something? Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama has not left. I'm sure he's pulling a little puppet string that Beijing Biden in the White House. All of this started on his watch, the demonizing of law enforcement. The police in Cambridge acted stupidly. Oh, all the police in Cambridge did was do their job, okay? And you're telling me that police should be vilified, they should be pelted with rocks, with bricks, and frozen water bottles thrown at them? Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you have a flash froze freeze machine, but it takes some time to freeze bottles of water that are being thrown at law enforcement. That is not an acute act of violence. That is a planned confrontation. I'm sorry. This whole thing that we're seeing today is part of the Democrat Communist Party movement. Holy crap, we got 2 minutes left. Oh, my God. I didn't realize that much time is left. You know what? I want to thank Iggy Mom, Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, Ducky, Golf Dogs, Hank Jones, Poly Sports, OBFSU, Belly, our big friend, a big fat soft underbelly, Paul Sutliff and the Alaskan, and, of course, Sue from New Mexico is on the switchboard. Thank you, Holger, for your call. Tomorrow night, we've got Eric from Kafiristan with Radio Free Kafiristan. We got Hank Jones of Poly Sports on Wednesday. Thursday, Paul Sutliff and Leo Holman. And Friday, we've got Andrew Harrod, Dr. Harrod at Islam and Focus. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan with the real interfaith dialogue. And Monday, Al and I will be back from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Hash Brown, G Patriot Radio, Hash Brown, Mama Mia, No Sharia. No more espresso tonight. You're right, Boyd. No more espresso tonight. I think I got my four cup that I'm just about done with. Al, any parting shots?
Hit 'em straight, America. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Adios.
Yeah. I wonder what boy will be winning the PGA tournament this coming weekend and that Beijing Biden can offend. That freaking
yeah,
button.
Maybe that Japanese boy will come back to the leaderboard. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be maybe that South Korean boy can win this weekend. Huh. Who knows? Well, folks, you be careful of your surroundings out there. Please be safe and thank you for joining us. And please follow our Global Patriot Radio Network. Thank you. Holy cow. Sorry about that, Al. I didn't even realize what time it was.
Yeah, that went fast. A lot going on. This has been a very busy week of increased ajna.
It has been. It really has been. It's just, you know, I'll tell you, the Democrat Communist Party has truly shown their colors now. I mean, and this is just 4 months. I mean, tomorrow is 4 months when Beijing Biden took office, and this has all happened in 4 months. The dismantling of everything that President Trump did, and then the implementation of these anti-American, anti-constitutional edicts. I just it's very troubling. I never thought I'd see it in our lifetime, honest to God.
Well, you brought the story with Maxine Waters going in and inciting violence, and then 7 hours later, the shooting of the two National Guard.
Yeah.
She is directly responsible for that without question, and yet McCarthy, what the hell are the Republicans doing?
Well, you know, I think they're part of the same system. There are very few out there that aren't. And, oh, wow, do you know that McCarthy, he's thinking about taking action against her. Oh,
thinking.
Man. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Trump called him a pussy.
Well, and he should have.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really beginning to think what happened on January 6th was absolutely a planned action. And that means that just as they were getting ready to vote, and I believe it was what state was it that was getting ready to cast their vote where they were going to object to? Was it Arizona? Suddenly this thing breaks up, and the U.S. House, their people let into the House, and they stop the count. And I tell you, it was almost like it was an excuse that there was no way that they could vote otherwise. They could object to the election, irrespective of the fact that there is proof of election fraud. And it's almost like, hey, you know what? We got an excuse now. How could we, you know, they come back at 1 o'clock in the morning. How can we in all good conscience object to this election after what just happened? Well, isn't that convenient? 4 months later, we still don't know the name of the law enforcement official who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed woman. But we know the name, sex, gender, address, birth date of the woman who shot the thug Dante Wright in 48 hours, less than 48 hours. That's just my – listen, I don't speak for Global Patriot Radio. I don't speak for you. This is my opinion. And I tell you, this entire election cycle stinks. And as time continues to pass, more and more becomes evident that this whole entire process was rigged. It was a movement to get rid of Donald J. Trump. It was a payback to the American people for having the audacity to not elect the pantsuit Princess Hillary Rotten Clinton in 2016. And in four months, the anti-constitutional dictator Joe Biden has absolutely tried to purge everything that Trump has done, to the point where they're even going to take credit for building or continuing the wall that Donald Trump started because they so fucked up the border issue. And we have supposedly have a plandemic in America, and you've got this administration taking infected illegal immigrants and transporting them and dispersing them around the United States. And then you've got these governors like the Governor Whitless in Michigan, who's pissed at the people going to Florida, because that's where everything is emanating from now, is from Florida. And that's a crock of crap. Because if you look at the coronavirus numbers coming out of Florida, okay, they have reduced drastically. You know, nothing is being said about these illegal immigrants who are being dispersed around the United States and the fact that they are infected with the Chinese virus and they're now infecting other people. But hey, there's only a 99.7% viral rate.
I'll take my chances. Thank you.
Yes, me too. Did you get your Chinese virus vaccine?
Well, I'm working on the shingles shot. I get my second one later on this month, so that's my answer to people who ask. That's the non-answer answer. It kind of works. This weekend it didn't really work, so I had someone who's really pressing me.
So I said, well, I said, I'm kind of hesitant right now. I said, well, you know, it's kind of 90. I said, I got a 99.8% chance of survival. I'll kind of take my chances.
I did. I said the same thing, and man, I got to look at. Okay, are you kidding? The guy looked at me.
It was uncomfortable,
and went,
wasn't it?
Yeah, you know what? It's not uncomfortable anymore. I'm sticking to my guns on this one. I have no interest in getting the Chinese virus vaccine. I've got none. And you know what? I sat there and he looked at me and he went, "So you haven't gotten it yet?" I said, "No." He goes, "Well, aren't you going to get it?" I said, "No, I have no interest in getting it." You know, first of all, we're told that We get the two shots, we're good. We don't have to wear a mask. And now we have to wear a mask. And now we're told that we're going to have to get a vaccine once a year now for the Chinese virus. And before we were told that was not true. And now we're told we're going to have to get it on an annual. Well, it's just a booster shot. Well, that's not – no, excuse me. Well, it's just like getting a flu shot. Well, I don't get the flu shot. You don't get the flu shot? I don't get the flu shot. Oh.
Me neither. And then with this, you do get the shot. You can still get COVID, and you can still have to wear, and you still have to wear a mask. So what's the point of getting the shot?
I don't know. And then you've got the issue of what a HIPAA, where you know you've got medical facilities who have been fined by the U.S. government for violating HIPAA rights, a patient's HIPAA rights. You've got medical facilities that if they don't have their offices set up to a point where people can't see other patients' files, they get fined. And now we're going to have to carry around a vaccine passport that has your medical information on it, and somehow that doesn't violate HIPAA because it's all part of a pandemic.
That's true. I didn't think about that. The HIPAA violation.
I know we didn't get to it tonight, but, you know, we got a little bit.
Oh, that's not going anywhere. That'll be around next week. The week after. Think about for traveling. It was real funny because I go to Israel every year. Israel is locked down pretty tight. And you can't go there unless you show proof that you've been vaccinated. They're very strict on that. And one of the guys is leading the tour group. He was really questioning everybody because I was at a function where there were a lot of people that were on the trip and signed up to go in the following year. He's like, well, he's really pushing getting the vaccine. And now I kind of figured out why, because his customer base is hesitant to get the shots.
Oh,
and he was selling it pretty hard, and now it suddenly just clicked. He's like, "Oh my God, my client base is crazy. They're not going to do the shots."
Oh. Minor point.
I mean,
there,
that's a debate. I mean, if I can't travel to go, like I've got to go to Washington for a wedding in a few months. Now, what if I have to have the vaccine to fly? Or what if I have to get a test to fly? And then I go to the airport and they say, oh, well, it's going to be $300 for you to get an immediate test to fly. I guess you do that. I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to work.
If I buy
the ticket now and I don't have the test, will I not be able to fly?
Okay.
I don't know. These are...
So let's say that you don't get the you decide that not to get it. What if you were to drive? Are there going to be stations along the way that you have to go through to show in order to enter D.C.?
No. We're talking Washington State.
Oh, Washington State.
All the way on the other coast of D.C. Then driving would be a possibility, but you know we just can't stay away from home that long. But Washington State is a whole. That's pretty far.
Wow.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Things may change in a couple of months.
Right.
All of a sudden, if there's another shot that you need to have, And this other shot is now, I don't know, been cycled out for whatever reason. I don't know. But it's restricting my travel. The Constitution allows me the right to travel, but it doesn't allow me the right to travel on a private airline, a private company. I can hop in my car and drive all day long if I want to. Nobody can stop me with that. But I guess a Delta or a Braniff, they can tell me no flying for you, Mr. Al and Mrs.
Well,
Al.
Well, I'll tell you what. Okay. Now, let's just say in the free enterprise world, Delta starts realizing that their ridership is down, continues to plummet after America opens up and the Chinese virus is gone, you know, has gone its way. But now they're requiring passports, vaccine passports, and Americans say, you know what? I'm going to fly, let's just say, I'm going to fly Southwest Air because they don't require me to have a vaccine passport. Now you're looking at JetBlue and Southwest, who's running at 80, 85, 90% capacity, and you've got Delta Airlines and American Airlines running at 25% capacity. At what point now does Delta Air say, you know what, I think we're going to relax our standards? You know, in America, you still have the ability to we live in America. You have the ability to decide whether or not you can travel freely in America. Okay, so therefore, we will just scrap and do away with it for right now. You know, this mandate that we had, because you know we believe in Americans' right to travel, and the U.S. Constitution is really clear. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to come a time when people are going to say, you know what, you're going to require me to have a vaccine passport to travel. I don't agree with it. I'll fly another airline that doesn't require it. And then you watch how fast when things start happening in the United States where the free enterprise system is going to take over, and then these oppressive airlines are going to start saying, you know, we were wrong. You know, don't worry about it. You don't need to show a passport anymore. I don't know.
You know. Well, I can only hope. I mean, what is it I read? Let's see, 50% of the population has had one shot.
Oh, really?
So there's, yeah. So 50 have had percent, which is about right, because wherever I go, it's like people are like, oh, did you get your shot? Oh, yeah, which one did you get? And then it's a thing. It's become a conversational item. What shot did you get? Where'd you get it? How was it? How'd your arm feel? I'm sure you've seen the same thing, I imagine.
Yep. Uh-huh. Well, I got the Moderna shot, and I'm getting my second one tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my Johnson & Johnson, or they get, oh, I got the one and done one. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, and people feel good after it, and I feel like the society's loosening up a little after all these people get the shots, because now it's like, all right, well, I got my shot. Life goes on now. And that's good.
I go back to your comment, and that is the conditioning of America. This whole thing has been a matter of conditioning.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, if I got to make a choice between getting the shot and flying somewhere to travel, whether it be overseas or not, I don't know. I'm going to do a gut check on that, and I don't know the answer. Will I do it? Won't I do it? I don't know. I mean, so many people have gotten it, and there's been, I don't know. I could justify it either way.
Yep. No,
but I don't want to get it, so I don't know. But like you, I don't get the flu shot just because, I don't know. Maybe I'm a lucky person. I don't get sick very often, and when I do, it's over in a couple of days, and that's that. Not a chronic issue. I don't know.
I don't get it because my family members, including my mother, got sick as a dog from getting the flu shot. And when multiple family members have gotten sick from it, we all have similar DNA, I'm sure. I'm not going to get it. I just, and maybe nothing will happen to me. Maybe I won't have the side effects that my mother and my father and my my cousins and nephews have had. But I'm not taking that chance.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm with you there. We're on the same page. If it was the Ebola virus, I'd be first in line. That's a nasty one. That one kind of rots you out from the inside and you bleed out of your pores. That's a little more serious than COVID.
Yeah, I just don't, and besides that, I'm sure I've had it. So I'm not, that's another reason why I'm not really worried.
This COVID was more like Ebola. I would get it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, there were some good stories and we didn't get to it in Bigfoot's blog spot. And we didn't get to, I don't know if you saw the story about Hank Azaria is apologizing. He did the voice of Abu on The Simpsons, Apu on The Simpsons. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. No, I did not. He's apologizing for the voiceover.
He's apologizing. Oh. You know, they did away with the character Apu, and you got to read the story. It's in the it's in the Sunday Stories, the first one under Bigfoot's place for Sunday National Review, and it's hysterical. I'm telling you, this society today is. And the Italian word is geese in a box is crazy. I mean, you've got Hank Azaria is apologizing for doing a voice of Apu. And, as a white man, he shouldn't have done it for portraying Indian American. But, most people don't even know who Apu is. And, I very rarely watch The Simpsons. And the only reason why I know it's Apu is because in crossword puzzles, the three-letter word of the grocer – or in The Simpsons is Apu. So,
an Indian guy running a 7-Eleven. It's funny.
Yes. And, after all, Dictator Joe talked about, you see manning, 7-Elevens are Pakistanis or Indians. So, even Dementia Joe in his racist ways said it. But, I didn't even know Hank Azaria did the voice of it. But he apologized because he had this... His 17-year-old, he spoke before his 17-year-old son's class, and this Indian American kid came up to him, and he was virtually in tears, talking about the stereotypes of the racism of portraying these people. And it's like the guy who wrote the story is an Indian American himself, and he goes, "Do you know who the number one offended?" The number one Indian who's the most offensive to Indian Americans in America, it's Raj from The Big Bang Theory. No one even knew who Apu was on The Simpsons. That's how fraudulent this whole thing is. I mean, you got to read the story. You have to read it.
Raj is a pretty whiny character, and I guess they have that movie with the interpreter that comes over from Afghanistan. I've seen the previews for it. The show looks really stupid. And they got this whiny little Afghani guy who comes over. He's an interpreter, and the army, the soldier brings him over, I guess, to save his life because he was going to get killed. And then he comes over and he interprets everything for the dumb soldier to his family. It looks really stupid. And that's offensive to me.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's getting worse.
Oh, it really is. Oh, I'll tell you. Oh well.
Hey, at least we get it off our chest once a week. This is therapy.
Exactly. Oh my God.
All right.
right, Dr. Esposito. Thank you for the
right.
this week's treatment.
Thanks, Mr. Al. I appreciate it. Have a good evening.
All right.
Hey.
Adios.
Have a good evening.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.